Okay, good morning. We continue with our Nach Yomi series. I hope that everyone is doing well. We are up to Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yudala, the 14th Perek. We left off yesterday discussing the fascinating story of Shimshon, the next of the Shoftim. He was a Shofet, and he was a Nazir from birth. His parents were approached by the Malach. The Malach comes to Manoach and Eishes Manoach saying, you're going to have a son, and your son will lead the Jewish people past the Pushtim. The Pushtim were oppressing the Jewish people for 40 years. And comes Shimshon, who will end up being their savior. And Shimshon has a very unique strategy that when he tries to find like a pretext, the real reason for why he can go attack the Pushtim, like we'll see in a few moments. And also interesting to note that Shimshon acts alone. None of the other tribes come and help Shimshon in these battles. And the Pasuk tells us, Vayered Shimshon Timnasa. And Pasuk Aleph, Shimshon goes down to Timna, Vayar Ish B'Timnasa. And he finds a woman there, Bibnos Pushtim, the daughters of the Pushtim, who he wants to marry. And it's interesting, his parents for the next two psukim are probably wondering to themselves, and they say to him, you can't find a Jewish girl. You know, we were just told in the last parak that you are going to be a Nazir. And this is probably not the most fitting thing for you to be marrying a non-Jewish girl. So what is happening here? And Pasuk Dalet tells us, Va'avivimo lo yadu kime Hashem hi. His parents didn't know that this is part of the Ratzon Hashem, that Hashem wanted this to happen so that there could be a pretext against the Pushtim, which we'll see in a few moments. The Radak notes that they actually converted to Judaism before he married them. Before Shimshon marries any of these women, he did convert them, so maybe it was fine. But what's the underlying reason for why he wanted to marry this woman? Kihi yashra be'enai, because it was fitting in his eyes. And the Radak points out that this phrase actually foreshadows Shimshon's downfall. Although originally he began with pure motives, he became attracted by the beauty of the woman he ended up marrying, and thus he was led astray. His eyes led him, so his eventual punishment was that the Pushtim ended up blinding him. They ended up blinding his eyes. So that is why, you know, this phrase we keep on seeing, Kihi yashra be'enai, and that unfortunately led to Shimshon's downfall. Also interesting to note, the Gemara in Sota on Daf 10a points out this phrase, Vayered Shimshon Timnasa, that Shimshon went to Timna, he went down to Timna. Yet, when in Yehuda, in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Lamed Ches, we say that Yehuda went up to Timna. So what's Pshat? So the Gemara points out, homiletically, that Yehuda actually ascended to Timna because there he married Tamar, and from that marriage, we know that that led to the future Davidic dynasty, that David HaMelech ends up coming from that marriage. But Shimshon, however, descended because in Timna, what did he do? He married a Pushti woman. So you see a Yerida from Shimshon there. And the next thing that we know is that Shimshon and Pasuk Hey, Shimshon and his parents go down to Timna, and they come near a vineyard. So they were all going together, but once they came to a vineyard, they had to split up. Why did they have to split up? Because Shimshon was a Nazir, and he couldn't go anywhere near the vineyard. So his parents had to separate from him for a minute. And while he was going the other path, he came across a young lion that was roaring towards him. V'hinei kfir arayo shoig l'krosso. There was this lion that was roaring next to him. And Shimshon and Pasuk Vav, the Pasuk tells us that he was the Ruach Hashem. Hashem was with him, and the Spirit of God was with him, and he tore it apart. He was able to tear apart this lion that was roaring. He had no weapons with him. And he didn't tell his parents what ended up happening. Why specifically a lion? So I saw brought down, the Malbim points out, by sending a lion towards him, Hashem was hinting to Shimshon that Shimshon's intended marriage would be an unpleasant encounter. But by enabling him to kill the lion easily, Hashem showed him that he would not abandon him. That's what the Alshach points out. And the Malbim says it was a sign that he would prevail over the enemies of God. So that's why you had this lion that came out. And Pasuk Zion, the Navi tells us again that he goes down, sees this woman, Vatishar b'nei Shimshon, she was fitting in the eyes of Shimshon. He decides he wants to marry her, and then later comes back, I guess like a later time, he comes back, he wants to get married. On his way back up to the woman before he gets married, he wants to go stop by the same spot where he tore up that lion, the place where God performed the miracle for him. And when he goes, he sees that the bees had made a hive in the carcass of that lion, and he goes and takes out some honey. And he has some, and he gives some to his parents as well, but he does not tell his parents where this is from. And in Pasuk Yud, we see that Shimshon's father is getting all ready to make the wedding. He goes down to the woman, prepares the marriage, makes a big feast, and Shimshon's in-laws, the Pushti family, invite 30 young companions as groomsmen for this big wedding. And Shimshon now sets the trap. What does he do? This is when Shimshon has this opportunity that he's going to try to set a real reason, set like a real pretext against them why he's going to be able to attack the Pushtim. So he says, I have a riddle for everyone. And if you guys solve the riddle, I will give you 30 changes of sheets and clothing, and you have to get it before, you know, the end of these 7 days. But if not, then you have to give it to me. And what was the riddle? Pasuk Yud Dalet. He says,
from the eater came forth food, and from the strong came forth sweetness. And what happens? They could not figure out the riddle for 3 days, and they're going crazy. They're like, we need to figure this out. So what do? They're like, uh-oh, we have to figure out something. So they go to Shimshon's wife, and they say, you need to figure out this riddle for us. Get us the answer. And if not, we're going to burn down your houses. So they really threaten her. And he says, he says to his wife, I'm not giving you the answer. She keeps on nagging him, keeps on bothering him. He's like, I haven't even given it to my own parents. Why would I give it to you? And she's like, please. And she keeps on nagging him to the point where it's like a ki hetzkisu vategid. Like it became like a thorn in his side. She was just driving him so nuts. And they had to get this riddle very, very soon. Otherwise the shot clock was almost over. So after a few days, he finally spills, gives her the information. And what does she do after she gets the information? She goes and tells it to the Pushtim. The Pushtim come over to Shimshon, and they say, oh, we got your answer. We know the answer. And Shimshon says, are you kidding me? You think you actually got the answer yourself? And because you pressured my wife, this is what happened, and this is unacceptable, but you know what? I will still give you your stuff. So then Shimshon, what does he do? He goes down to Ashkelon, he kills 30 Pushtim, takes their clothing, and gives it to the 30 groomsmen. And Shimshon leaves upset. He's very upset at the people. He goes back to his father's house. Shimshon also had a very unique status of Nazirus. The fact that he was able to take off these people's clothing and give it to the 30 groomsmen, he was allowed to become tameh to dead bodies. Shimshon's wife actually betrays him. She goes and marries one of those 30 men, and Shimshon never divorced her. So she was blatantly committing adultery, and this is really setting the tone for the next few prakim. That now there's a pretext for why he's going to go attack the Plishtim, but that was just the basic story of Shimshon going down to Timnah, marrying this woman. We're going to learn a little bit more tomorrow, but have a great day, and Kol Tov.